But we're glad we have some pews, something to sit on. Good to be here this evening. Good to see each and every one of you. Got a few folks missing tonight, it looks like, but that's okay. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Going to look at the first verse of that chapter. I don't know if you've ever given thought about how much significance is in a name, but there's a lot of significance in a name. And we're going to look tonight at a good name. A good name. Proverbs chapter 22, and we'll look at the first verse. It says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." He says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. He says, if you could get a good name, it'd be a lot better than being rich. A lot of people are laboring to be rich. They want to get the mansion. They want to get the $1 million in the bank. But Solomon says it'd be a lot better just to have a good name. And he says, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You know what I'd rather have? I'd rather have the loving favor of God rather than anything else in this whole entire world. That's the most meaningful thing, the most precious, the most valuable thing that any human being could have would be the loving favor of our Heavenly Father. So a good name is what I want to talk to you about tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have given to us. Thank you for giving us a place to come and assemble. Thank you for a Bible that we can read and study and learn from. Thank you for speaking to us out of it. Father, I pray that you'd be with us tonight. Help us to glean something from this verse tonight. I pray that we'd uplift and exalt and magnify your holy and precious name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody's born with a name. I don't know if you've ever thought about the importance of a name, but if you bring up a name, a lot of times that brings up some, you're associated with a lot of good feelings or bad feelings. I mean, I can bring up names like Ronald Reagan. I can bring up a name like George Washington. I can bring up a name like Abraham Lincoln. What does that bring to your mind? You think, man, those are great leaders of our nation, the founding of our nation. Boy, it brings up good thoughts of good things, man. And that's just by bringing up their name. You may have never seen their face before or seen a bodily shape of them or heard them speak or anything like that, but I bring up their name and it brings up thoughts into your mind. How about if I bring up the name Charles Manson? What comes to your mind? Happy thoughts? Probably not. How about Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin? That brings up bad thoughts in your mind. Oh, killing, murder, deceit, all of those different things. Brings up bad thoughts in your mind. Well, each and every one of us has a name. And if you have a last name tonight, and you're a guy or a girl here this evening, you ought to labor to make sure that you bring a good reputation to your name. Don't bring shame and dishonor to the family name. Work to make a good name for your family here this evening. Whenever people think of the name Fox, I don't want them to think of some kind of criminal or some lazy bum that doesn't ever work or some guy that doesn't take care of his family. I don't want them to think of that. I want them to have good thoughts of the Fox name. And you should think the same thing about your family name. It's your responsibility. It was given to you, and you should labor to make a good reputation for your name that you have here this evening. I mean, each and every one of us has a name, and with a name comes a nature that you get from your father and your mother. I mean, you look at me, you think of the name Fox. Well, foxes are associated with having receding hairlines. We don't have a whole lot of hair on our head. If you was to look at my grandpa before me, he had a slick head. He had no hair on his head. As a matter of fact, for a fox, I have quite a bit of hair on my head. You look at Dad's head, see, it's all shiny right there and glowing. You can see it. He could shine that booger up pretty good. But that's what foxes are known for. You look at all of my granddad's brothers, they're all bald. All of my great uncles on my dad's side, foxes have, you know, they don't have a whole lot of hair. A lot of times we're known for being kind of quiet, introverted. We're known for those things. Each and every one of you have characteristics that come with your name. You're born with those things. And when you were saved and when you were born again, you got a nature from your Heavenly Father. You chose a name whenever you got saved. Who'd you choose? Well, hopefully you did not, you didn't choose Muhammad whenever you got saved. And you chose Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, whenever you got saved. You said, hey, I'll take Jesus Christ over the church, over this and over that. I'll take the name of Jesus Christ. And with the name of Jesus Christ, with your Christianity, with your salvation, you can't get around it. You got a nature to go along with it. There's some things that ought to be evident in your Christianity whenever you got saved. Hey, you should love to come to church. Hey, you should love the Word of God. Hey, you should love Christian music. Why? Hey, you got your daddy's nature, don't you? Your Heavenly Father. You got you a new nature. And so you get all of those things. And guess what? You better labor to make sure that Jesus Christ has a good name associated with you. Because I tell you what, the name of Jesus Christ in Christianity down through the ages has been associated with a lot of horrendous things. How about the Inquisitions back there a long time ago? Those things were all done in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, that's not real Christianity. Inquisitions are not real Christianity. Killing people in the name of Jesus Christ is not biblical. Jesus Christ did not tell you to go around and kill your neighbor. He said, hey, love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't matter whether they don't believe the same thing you believe. You don't go out and kill people in the name of Jesus Christ, but yet they are. I mean, you watch a lot of Hollywood television today, all these TV preachers that get caught up in all these ungodly scandals, and the name of Jesus Christ is dragged through the mud because of all of these things that happen. You better labor to make sure that Jesus Christ has a good connotation associated with it, if you can do anything about it. Make sure it's associated with righteousness. Make sure it's associated with holiness. Make sure it's associated with faithfulness. All of those different things. Hey, you got a name. You got it from your Heavenly Father, and His name is Jesus Christ. Christianity, the definition of Christian means Christ-like. Christ-like. So if you are a Christian here this evening, you will be Christ-like. It means follower of Christ. It means belonging to Christ. That's what the name Christian means. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, Acts chapter 11 and verse number 26. The name of Christian is mentioned three times in the Bible. But the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So Christian then becomes your identity. It's not something that you did a long time ago and then you forgot about until you get to your deathbed and say, oh yeah, I forgot. I accepted Christianity a long time ago. No, sir. No, sir. Christianity is a way of life. Christianity is life from the dead. Christianity is a new birth. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So it's who you are. It's not just a title you bear. It's not just something neat that you can add to your life. It's not some kind of little thing that you can hang on your Christmas tree and say, hey, look, I'm a Christian. It's not a necklace that you wear. It's a life. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. And we bear that name. We bear the name of Jesus Christ before us. The name of Jesus Christ is more valuable and more great than any riches that you can think of. That's more, I'll tell you what, people over there in the dark continent of Africa want to hear the name of Jesus Christ. They want to hear it. It's valuable. That's a valuable name right there. It's a powerful name. The Bible says that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name in the universe. It's higher than Muhammad's. It's higher than the Pope's. It's higher than anybody's name out there. It's the name of Jesus Christ. It's got power associated with it. The most powerful name in the world. One of these days, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's who they will bow to. The name of Jesus Christ will bring you into loving favor with Him. What did our verse say? It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Did you choose Jesus Christ? Best choice you ever made, right there. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Who brought you into favor with God the Father? It wasn't myself. It wasn't that I was a good guy and I was able to work my way into favor with my heavenly Father. It didn't work that way. I had to go to Jesus Christ because He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I cannot get to the Heavenly Father but by Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator between God and man. So I have the loving favor of God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, because of Jesus Christ. Because of the name of Jesus Christ. That's the reason. The name of Jesus Christ is good. It's a good name because it's from God Himself. He said, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. The name Jesus Christ means Jehovah saves. Jehovah is God Almighty in the Old Testament, come down in the form of a man, that's Jesus Christ. It's good. It's a good name. It's a good name. I love the name of Jesus Christ. But yet, so many times, the name of Jesus Christ gets dragged through the mud, doesn't it? It's a powerful name. It's a name from God. It's a holy name, the name of Jesus Christ. So what will you do with the name that you have? Will you take care of it? Or will you drag it through the mud? Four things that we ought to do with the name of Jesus Christ. The first thing we should do is fear the name of Jesus Christ. We should fear Him. We should preach His name. We should have faith in His name. And we should glorify His name. Those things that we should do. We should fear His name. Fear His name. The definition for fear has several definitions. One of them is dread and terror. The name of Jesus Christ has dread and terror with it. One of these days, there's going to be a great white throne, several thousand, or at least 1,000 years out there in the future. And you want to talk about some dread and some terror, my friends? Pastor talked about it this morning. I don't want to be standing at that great white throne. Nobody would want to be standing there because there's going to be some dread and there's going to be some terror right there. There's going to be people screaming and weeping and wailing and wishing they could get out of it, but they can't get out. But it's going to be Jesus Christ there. Dread and terror. We should fear the name of Jesus Christ. Dread, terror, or trembling. The next thing is reverence, respect. For the name of Jesus Christ. Did you know in our country today there is no respect or there is very little reverence or respect for the name of Jesus Christ in our country today? And that's a sad thing because the name of Jesus Christ is holy and righteous and just. Exodus 20 verse 7 says, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Today in the U.S. Air Force, Army, and Navy, you can take the name of Jesus Christ and use it as a cuss word, but you cannot pray in the name of Jesus Christ. You can't preach in the name of Jesus Christ, but yet you can use it as a cuss word or as a curse word. You can break the commandments of God. Navy Chaplain Lieutenant Commander Wes Fodder was suspended for praying in the name of Jesus Christ in the year 2015. He was counseling a young man on how to get out of homosexuality, and his higher-ups found out about it. And they said, we can't have that. You're not allowed to do those kinds of things, and you cannot pray in the name of Jesus Christ. So he was suspended for trying to help a young man to get out of homosexuality. Crazy, terrible. Homosexuality will ruin your life, my friends. Where is all the news media at today that is warning people about the health aspects of homosexual behavior is what I want to know about. I mean, they are so concerned about our health and our well-being, but yet they will not say one word about the physical health ramifications for homosexual behavior. That's sad, my friends. That's sad. It'll ruin your body. It'll ruin your body. Kathy Griffin recently made the news when she made a joke about Donald Trump. I'm sure everyone's heard about it. Held up the bloody mask of Donald Trump, or a bloody mask of Donald Trump. Well, that thing was sickening, wasn't it? I mean, nobody should do that. I don't care who's president. You don't do those kinds of things. You ought to respect the office of the president no matter who it is. But there she is holding up that bloody mask of Donald Trump. At the 2007 Emmy Awards, she invoked the name of Jesus Christ, and it was not in a good connotation. She came up and accepted an award, and she said, "A lot of people came up here and they thanked Jesus for this award. I want you to know that no one had less to do with this award than Jesus. He didn't help me a bit. All I can say is," and then she said an obscenity about Jesus Christ, and she held up her award and she says, "This is my God now." You know what? She's going to regret those words one of these days. Amen. One of these days she's going to stand before that Jesus Christ that she made fun of and she blasphemed, and she's going to wish she had bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. What is she going to do with her little plastic trophy that she won for acting? Going to take it? Now she can't even take it with her. It'll be rotting up here on the surface of the earth while she's down in hell, screaming, screaming. Kathy Griffin, there is very little respect for the name of Jesus Christ here today in America. She has no fear or respect for authority. The Bible says the powers that be are ordained of God. It doesn't matter who the president is. You shouldn't be holding up a bloody mask and making fun of the president of the United States. It doesn't matter if it's Barack Obama or anybody else. God put them in that position. He allowed them to be elected, and you should respect that person, amen, no matter who it is. She has no business doing that kind of stuff. All true believers fear the name of the Lord, because you know who He is. You know who He is. And don't be ashamed to fear the name of the Lord. Sometimes we get scared, don't we? How about young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1? He had become scared of preaching in the name of the Lord. What did Paul have to do? He had to get on him and he said, "Hey, stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands." He said, "Don't be ashamed of me or the testimony of our Lord. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Don't be afraid." Hey, Christian, don't be scared to preach and teach and tell people about Jesus Christ. Amen. What did he go on to say later in that chapter? He says, "For I am not ashamed." That's what Paul said. "I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." He said, "I know who I put my faith and trust in. It's Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of that a bit. I have no regrets whatsoever for putting all my faith and all my trust in Jesus Christ." Amen. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. You don't have any regrets about trusting Jesus Christ with your eternal soul. You know why? He made it. Jesus Christ made it. Don't you think He can keep it? I sure couldn't. I can't keep my eternal soul. Fearing the name of the Lord reminds us that He's coming back. And He is coming back. Peter warned us. He said, "In the last days there will be scoffers, and they will say, 'Where is the promise of His coming? When's He going to come back? You guys have been talking about Jesus Christ coming back for 2,000 years. You think He's going to come back?' Of course He's coming back. As sure as the sun's coming up in the morning, Jesus Christ is coming back. He'll be back. He'll be back." Talked about it, John talked about it in Revelation. All those people that made fun of Jesus and scoffed at Him, they're going to weep and they're going to wail. They're going to say, "There He is. He's coming back." Better fear His name, because He's coming back. He will. Malachi 4:1-2 says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven." That's the day of the Lord. That's the second coming. "That shall burn as an oven." Now that doesn't sound too pleasant if you're against the Lord. "And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be as stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave neither root nor branch." There's going to be nothing left out there at the day of the Lord. He's going to burn them up. Fire's going to be coming out of His mouth. And He's going to burn them up. But what does the next verse say? It says, "But unto you that fear my name." Different day for you and for me, because we fear His name. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings." Amen. And that's a good day for us, isn't it? Amen. Can't wait for that day. Yeah. But don't be proud, don't be arrogant, and don't be one of the wicked ones. Amen. I can't wait for Jesus Christ to come back. "But unto you the fear of my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall." we're to fear the Lord, it reminds us that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back. You better fear the Lord, not only that, so you can know Him. People who do not fear the Lord, they do not know Him. Lost people do not know the Lord whatsoever. They cannot know Him. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed it unto us by His Spirit. Amen. Don't fear God, you will not know God. What does Solomon say in Proverbs 1:7? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're not going to know God. You're not going to know His holiness. You're not going to know His righteousness until you get on your face and say, I don't know nothing. Yeah. You won't know it. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So in a postmodern culture that we live in, we are taught that Jesus Christ is just like all the other religious figures out there, historical figures. Well, you got Muhammad, you got Buddha, you got the Hindu guy, you got Mother Teresa, you got the Pope, and then you got Jesus. No, Jesus is different. He's a lot different. Better fear His name. That way you can get to know God Himself. You're not going to get to know God by searching out some other man. You better search out Jesus Christ if you want to know Him. Search Him out. Fear Him. So we should stand in awe and reverence His name. Why? Because Jesus is the Lord of the Old Testament. He is the great I Am. He is the Eternal One. His name is the Word of God. He is from eternity. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the ending. He's everything. He is all of those things. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come, the Almighty. You know what they're saying in heaven? They're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They're not listening to Johnny Cash. Amen. They're not listening to Taylor Swift. Amen. She's not the center of attention up there. There's no other country singers up there that I can think of. You know who's the center of attention up there? It's God Almighty. You better get used to worshiping the Lord. If you don't like singing down here in church, you're not going to like it up there in heaven one bit. You're going to be way out of place up there if you don't like singing. Amen. They're praising the Lord up there. Heaven is prepared for a place that for a people that love God. Amen. For a people that love God. They have a heart for God. And heaven is not, this earth is not their home. They're just passing through. They're just pilgrims on the way. Heaven is our final resting place, and there's where God is. Amen. That's where our place is. That's where our place is. God has placed us here, and I'm going to run out of time. God has placed us here to proclaim that gospel. We should preach the name of Jesus Christ. Preach Him. You don't have to pastor a church in order to preach the name of Jesus Christ. Preach this means simply to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. We don't proclaim religion. We don't proclaim creeds. We don't proclaim any of those kinds of things. We proclaim Jesus Christ. Paul says, I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ's sake. So all Christians, no matter who you are, should proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. We should preach His name. We should tell about Jesus Christ. Did He change your life? He changed my life. Tell other people that He changed your life. Because they're out there searching for something. They're out there looking for some kind of remedy for their life. And you know what's the only thing that's going to help them is Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no other remedy. All the rest of them are only temporary fixes. And then they're going to get bored with that, and they're going to go on to something else. They need something eternal, and that's Jesus Christ. So we preach Jesus Christ. We should preach His name. Preach His name. Jesus said before He left, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? The gospel is Jesus Christ. That's simply it. It's not a religion. It's not baptism. It's not works. It's not communion. It's none of those things. It's only Jesus. That's it. Preaching the gospel. We should preach His name. We should preach His name because we are not ashamed. Preach His name because Jesus saves. He's the only one that can save. Nobody else can save. So we preach Him. And He shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. People need to be saved from their sins because sins, my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, will destroy your life.
People's lives are being destroyed. Marriages are being destroyed because of sin. And they need Jesus. And he came to save them from their sins. That's the only thing that will help them. So we preach Jesus Christ. We're supposed to fear his name, and we're supposed to preach his name, and we're supposed to have faith in his name. We must have faith in his name. Hey, you know what? Christianity is a life of faith, as we heard about this morning. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith. The whole Christian life, from beginning to end, is a life of faith. That's hearing the word of God, that's believing the word of God, and then acting upon it. That's a perfect definition right there of what faith is. Faith. Who are you going to put your faith in? A lot of people put their faith in the wrong things. Man, it's heartbreaking. You ask them what they put their faith in, it's the wrong thing. It should be Jesus Christ. Got a story a few years ago, been several years ago, 10, 15 years ago perhaps. Me and my wife were having our house added on to over there in Spearman, Texas, and we put our faith in a very poor architect. They were going to add on he did a better job than I could, okay, but I'm not a carpenter, all right? Never claimed to be a carpenter. We were going to have our house added on to. He was going to add a dining room and a bathroom, not a bathroom, a dining room and a bedroom, and then a porch onto the back. Okay, well, he wasn't really a reputable guy. He was just kind of a shade tree kind of a carpenter, and he added on to our house. We put all of our faith and trust in this guy. And he added on to our house, and he did an okay job. But after he got done, some of the doors, it wouldn't close right. He put them on there crooked. You could tell by looking at it. The door, top of the door is like this. I was like, man, that's not going to work. Try and shut the door. It's all crooked. And I'm not a carpenter. I had to go fix it. I had to go work on it. We had to put all our faith in this guy. All right, he puts on the back porch. He pours the concrete, and about 2 months later, we got cracks in the back concrete. Big old wide cracks. I don't know how wide those cracks are today, but they're pretty wide. He put a roof on top of that thing, and it was leaking. It leaked. It leaked into our garage. It leaked out there on the porch. And man, I tell you what, we put our faith in the wrong kind of architect. You know that? It was terrible. Terrible, terrible. You know why? Well, for one thing, I don't think that he really loved us all that much, and he didn't really care about us. And so he kind of did a so-so job, and I had to go off and I had to fix it. You know what? People put their faith and their trust in a lot of different things that they shouldn't put their faith in. A lot of crummy architects out there that they put their faith in. And you know what? One of these days, their house is going to start crumbling down because they built it on a faulty foundation. They started trusting Muhammad, or they started trusting this guy or that guy. They didn't put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know what? Their life is going to be a wreck one of these days because they didn't choose Jesus Christ. You know why? Because those guys didn't love them the way Jesus Christ loved you. You know, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he's going to build you the greatest, nicest, fanciest house you ever saw in your life. Because he loves you. And you're not going to have to go back and fix it. You're not going to have to go back and work on it and straighten out the doors and fix that leaky roof. Your life's going to be great. I mean, you might not think so, but one of these days when you get up to heaven, you're going to look back and say, man, he was right. I did good. The Lord did good, not me, but the Lord did good. What did Jesus Christ say? He said in John chapter 14, verse number 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe, have faith. Believe, have faith also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He said, I'm going, and I'm going to build something great for you. Now, who would not want to put their faith and trust in Jesus? Amen. I don't know. Man, the architect of the universe is out there building something for us. Must be pretty nice by now. He's been working on it for a long time. So we put our faith and trust in him. It's a life of faith. Faith in the name of Jesus Christ. We do what he says in his word. He says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. No true Christian is going to turn up their nose at the word of God. They love the word of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. Why? Because we can't order our own lives and we can't build our own house. But God can, Jesus Christ can. So we put our faith and trust in him. He's preparing something for us. I'm looking forward to seeing what it's going to be. Man, all you're going to get down in this life is disappointments and heartaches and troubles. Cars that break down, a body that breaks down, all these different things. Wait till you get to heaven. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, heaven. That'd be wonderful. I can't wait to see the Lord Jesus Christ up there one of these days. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to supply our needs because we are finite creatures and we need His help. We must have His help. And all of the supply that you need in this life is through Jesus Christ. What did Paul say? He says, "But my God shall supply all your need by Christ Jesus." By Christ Jesus. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through" who? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. So we put our faith and trust in Him because He's preparing something for us, and He can supply our needs down here upon this earth. Hey, it's a life of faith. Don't stop whenever you say that prayer and then that's as far as your faith goes. Keep going all the way. That's the Christian life. That's the Christian life. The last thing that we need to do is glorify His name. Don't drag the name of Jesus Christ through the mud. Jesus Christ gets associated with all kinds of horrendous things out there. The last thing we should do is that. Glorify His name. We glorify His name because of who He is. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is. We glorify His name. What did He do for us? Revelation 1, 5, and 6 says, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father." We couldn't have done that ourselves. That's at least one great reason to glorify the name of Jesus Christ, because He forgave us of our sins and made us kings and priests. That's something I sure didn't deserve, and you didn't deserve. None whatsoever. "To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Jesus Christ. Hey, that's a good name right there. You won't find a better name than that out there. You won't. Revelation 4:11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created." That's why we were created, to bring glory and honor to Him. Not to puff ourselves up or to think we're somebody, but because Jesus is somebody. He's wonderful. So you have the name of Jesus. You're bearing His name. What are you doing with it? Are you glorifying it? Are you putting faith in it? Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You have given to us.